The scripture reading this morning is from Mark 7, verse 1 to 23. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing. Holding to the tradition of the elders, when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go the commandments of God and are holding on to human traditions.'" And he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." This is God's word.
Thank you, Mike. Please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 7, and we'll pray as we dive in this morning. Lord, we thank you that we have your word to hear. Thank you that it's been written down for us all these years later. We can still read and hear and try to understand what Mark meant about what you said. So help us to do that now. In Jesus' name, amen. It occurred to me that this particular Sunday, 4 years ago, was the beginning of COVID. It was the last Sunday we had in person before the lockdowns and the stay-at-home orders. Remember that? And we were all wondering, March 15th, 2020, some of us were here wondering, what's going to happen? Now, there were so many unknowns about COVID, the virus itself at that time, like how does it spread and what do we need to do to stop it and how deadly is it and how bad is this going to get? Do you remember the pictures from cities in China where they had guys in hazmat suits spraying down, sanitizing the entire street, right? And we were told, sanitize your hands, wash your hands, wipe down your groceries after you come back from the store, because We don't know how this spreads, and you could catch it through touching something that's contaminated. So some of us, you know, went high octane on all those things, and some of us were like, I'm not so sure. But our whole country became a nation of germophobes overnight. Now, since then, we've understood more about how COVID actually spreads, which is through the air. And so you're 1,000 times more likely to contract COVID through breathing contaminated air than you are through touching something, which basically means all of that wiping and sanitizing was pretty pointless, right? Because that was they were going after the wrong source of contamination. Now in this passage, Jesus strongly criticizes the Pharisees for the same reason. They are trying to prevent contamination the wrong way. They're going at the wrong source. Spiritual contamination doesn't come from outside of us, right? It comes from inside. And I think we can all sort of feel that. Do you ever feel a little guilty, like, oh, I'm not measuring up? Do you ever feel like, oh, I shouldn't have done that? Why did I think that? Why did I say that? Why do I keep doing this stuff? There's a sense that we are not holy and clean and right in God's eyes, which is what the Pharisees were trying to achieve with their ceremonial washing. They were trying to be holy. Following the traditions handed down to them, they thought they could deal with that sense of unholiness through adding extra rules. And their religion became one of legalism, which means that they thought they could keep themselves pure by following the rules. But according to Jesus, it was completely ineffective. It was worthless. It was worse than worthless. If we are wrong about the source of COVID contamination, we could get sick, we could even die. But if we're wrong about spiritual, moral sin contamination, the consequences are a lot worse. In Jesus' words, we can cancel out the word of God. We can become hypocrites whose hearts are far from God. So this morning, very simply, I want to divide this passage in half and contrast the outside-in legalism of the Pharisees with the inside-out living that Jesus talks about. So we're going to see why the Pharisees got it so wrong and how Jesus corrects it. Let's begin starting in verse 1. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. And when it says they had come from Jerusalem, what this means is these are the religious inspectors coming to take a look at what Jesus is doing from the authorities, from the, you know, from the main office, coming out to say, I'm not so sure this guy Jesus is doing everything as he should. And to their horror, they observe some of Jesus' disciples breaking a rule that virtually all Jews followed, which was to wash your hands before you eat. This had nothing to do with hygiene and everything to do with spiritual hygiene, if I could put it that way. Mark gives this explanation to his non-Jewish readers about how the Jews wash cups and pitchers, and they don't eat after coming back from the marketplace before they wash. And so the Pharisees asked Jesus, why don't your disciples follow the tradition of the elders? It's easy for us to look down our noses at the Pharisees and say, I can't believe they had all those rules. That's just ridiculous. Why did they have those traditions? I mean, well, before we criticize them, understand this. They were making their best effort to do what they thought they had to do to obey God. They took the Bible very seriously. So seriously that they had taken the 613 commands in the Old Testament and expanded upon them. Right? Because they wanted to make sure they were obeying them. They weren't even accidentally breaking one of the rules. Since the time of Moses, which was over 1,000 years before this, Jewish rabbis had been interpreting the Torah, the law, to put a finer point on it, to essentially give case laws about how to follow the laws of the Bible. So, for example, when God says in Exodus, "Be holy," in Leviticus, "Be holy as I am holy," the rabbis said, "Okay, well, how? What should people do to be holy?" We know that God's law says you're not supposed to come into contact with corpses or blood or unkosher food. And if you do, you become ritually impure. So just to be on the safe side, we should give our hands a ceremonial washing in case we may have contacted one of these things. When I went to college for undergrad, I took a few classes with a man who was a Jewish rabbi and also a scholar. And the way he explained it was like this. He said, "Here's God's law. For example, keep the Sabbath holy. And the rabbinic tradition was to build a fence around the law so you wouldn't get close to breaking the law. So, for example, keep the Sabbath holy. Well, that means you should not even touch a tool on the Sabbath, because if you touch it, you might pick it up. And if you pick it up, you might accidentally use it, right? If you give a mouse a cookie, that kind of a thing. And you should not braid hair on the Sabbath, because if you braid hair, you're actually weaving, which is work, and you could construe that as doing work on the Sabbath." You see, they're trying to build a fence of traditions around the actual law, and by doing that, they're telling themselves, we are taking this seriously. We are adhering to these laws. Over time, there was an entire corpus of oral tradition that was seen as on the same authority level as the Bible and the words of God themselves. Now, what did Jesus think about this? Did he think those added rules help people to keep the law? Look with me at verses 6 through 8. He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites." Ouch. "As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." Can you imagine the gasps and the shock that they must have felt when he said these words? This is what everybody did. Everybody washes their hands after they get back from the market to avoid any spiritual contamination, to try to keep themselves pure in God's sight. According to Jesus, these human traditions not only are ineffective at helping keep the law, but they do the opposite. They end up obscuring or eclipsing the law itself. And they become the focal point instead of the good law. Jesus goes on to give an example of this in verses 9 through 13, where he talks about the tradition of Korban. And a Jewish person could take their estate and put it into Korban, which is like saying it's in a trust set up to be a bequest to the church. And so I can't use that money to help my mom with her cancer treatments because it's dedicated to God. Oh, well, right? It's a legal loophole to keep the law, but it actually ends up breaking a law, violating an even more fundamental command to love and honor one's parents. That's what legalism does. The fence becomes more important than the law itself. Their hearts are far from me. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. The more rules you add, the more loopholes you have. So you see, Jesus isn't against God's law. He's not against the word of God. He's against the way human beings have interpreted it to be legalistic and to elevate the traditions to the same level as God's word itself. Now, what about us? If Jesus walked into this church today, what would he say? Would he find any traditions that we take as seriously as the word of God? Would he find people trying to find loopholes to get out of obeying him? Let me take a risk here. Let me just name one that might be so close we can't even see it. I was thinking this week, what are the traditions in our church and in our Christian lives that may get in the way of following God's law? And I think sometimes it's church going. I think religious people like us put such a premium on church going that it can eclipse Jesus following. Perhaps. Sometimes, well, you know, before I was a pastor, now it's my job to be at church, but before I was a pastor, when I would go to church, I'm gonna think, okay, yeah, I'm doing a good thing. I'm a good Christian because I've been going to church a lot lately. I wonder if people watching on the live stream today, maybe some of you are feeling like, yeah, I probably should be there, but it still counts, right? I mean, I can still say I did church today because I watched it online. It's like maybe a loophole. Now, I'm so glad people can participate online when they can't come. And I'm so glad you're here today. And the New Testament is so clear that believers should be involved in a local church where they can love and serve and pray for one another and use their gifts and work for the kingdom together. But that can't be reduced to a set of rules. That doesn't all fit in the tradition of going to church every Sunday, right? If it becomes just a question of fulfilling the rule or checking the box, then we've missed the point. Because it's really so much more than that. Because legalism is outside in. It's based on the idea that if you change your behavior and follow the rules, you can be clean and holy in God's sight. And the really dangerous thing is that we can even fool ourselves. We can begin to think, oh, I am keeping God's law. I am pretty good because I do all these things, right? But unless we address the real problem that's causing unholiness, we're fooling ourselves. So what does Jesus say is the source of the problem? Let's read beginning in verse 14. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this." It's a very important phrase that Jesus only uses a few times in Mark. I'm about to say something you have to understand. He goes on, "Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about the parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Like, guys, come on. It's not that hard to understand. Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into the heart, but into their stomach and then out of the body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. This is astonishing. This is a big deal. In just a few words, Jesus has rewritten 1,000 years of tradition. He says, he's like, you've been missing the point. It's not about food. It's not about what you touch. It's about your heart. Food doesn't make you sinful. When you eat it, he says, literally, it goes out into the toilet. I knew Asher would appreciate that. And Ewan, wherever Ewan is. It's not food. It's not about what you eat or what you touch or spiritual contamination outside you. It's about what's already inside. It's about your heart. He goes on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. And then he lists this list of sins. The first three are practices. The second three are attitudes, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. Could Jesus be any clearer? It's not out there, it's in here. The contamination is not around us, it's already inside us. Experience tells me that Jesus is right. That no amount of hand washing is going to clean my heart, right? Let me help you visualize this for a minute. You see this jar? Really needs to be washed out. It's filthy inside. So if I hold this under water for a long time, it'll get clean, right? If I scrub it with soap really hard, if I let it soak for 3 years in a tub, if I put it in the dishwasher, no. Unless water gets inside this thing, it's not going to get clean because the dirt's on the inside. It's not on the outside. Jesus himself used this metaphor in Matthew 23. He said, you hypocrites, clean the inside of the cup and the outside will also be clean. If you clean the inside stays dirty. No amount of cleaning the outside of this cup will make the inside clean. Just as no amount of rule following will change our hearts. I hope that is clear. And, you know, if sin could be managed from the outside, don't you think we would have figured out how to do it by now? To pass the right laws, to use politics, or to use religion, or to use education, or science, to control evil in the world? We would have figured it out by now. But in truth, the human heart is seeded with everything necessary for all kinds of evil. Jesus isn't saying that every person engages in all the sins on this list, or that every person's heart is filled with these things. But I know that every person is capable of all these things under the right circumstances. And because the problem is within, not from outside. Okay. Our hearts need cleansing. So if you're like me, you might be thinking, okay, Jesus, I see the problem, but what's the solution? What do I do about it? First, I would say two things. First, we have to accept Jesus' diagnosis. No change will ever happen when we think the problem is outside of us. This is the foundation of any 12-step program, and it's true of Christianity. that the first step to recovery is admitting you have a problem, right? In biblical language, it's called confession and repentance. Saying, yep, I own that. I see the junk that's in my heart, and I need to change. And when you do that, when you open up your heart to God through confession and repentance, it's like taking the lid off the jar and saying, Lord, pour your cleansing water into me. And that, my friends, is exactly what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does. Later in Mark, Jesus will become the answer to this problem as he is the sacrificial lamb on whom all of our dirt and junk and sin and uncleanness gets put. So that he takes that, he forgives it, he removes it from us as far as the east is from the west. When we come to him in faith and say, I need your grace. I need your grace. There's a story in John chapter 2. I know most of you know this story, when Jesus is at a wedding in Cana. And the host of the wedding runs out of wine, which is a big problem in that culture. He would be disgraced. The party would end. He would never live it down. And so Jesus' mother, Mary, says, hey, they've run out of wine. He's like, why are you getting me involved? But then Mary tells the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. So I'll read, starting in verse 6. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing. Each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill up the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. They did so, then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from. And he thought the servants who had drawn the water, or even though the servants who had drawn the water knew, then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. I wonder why Jesus used jars that were meant for ceremonial washing to fill with proof of his glory, of the best wine imaginable. Maybe it's to show us that what we cannot do with our laws and traditions, he can do by his power. He can take our dead legalistic hearts and transform them by his grace, so that from out within can flow his grace, streams of living water. Our hearts can become gardens of his spirit, and we can live from the inside out. Let's pray. Lord, I'm thinking about how this passage in Mark really did focus more on the problem than the solution. And so help us to own our sin. Help us not to try to live from the outside in. Let us never fool ourselves by thinking that doing good things will make us good. But Lord, we open ourselves to you. Continue to transform us by your grace. And may good things flow out of the hearts of each person here. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for being among us. In Jesus' name, amen.